We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Robbie Hummel. And first of all, are you you like this? You like the gear that Doster sent me?
Yeah, it must be nice. I don't ever get sent anything. So I can't even get a t-shirt. You got polos?
We got everything. We got everything. And full price, baby. Full price.
Yeah, I could buy them. I could buy them at the store.
Yeah, we got a merch store. So make sure... the information should be on the screen right now. So make sure, number one, a little housekeeping, the merch store, we got gear like this in there, other gear as well. We also have a newsletter right now, Robbie. Have you subscribed to the newsletter?
No, but now I will.
You need to subscribe to the newsletter.
I didn't realize.
What it does is for people like you who are very busy, at least for about 4 months of the year, the other 8 months, you don't do jack shit. But when you're very busy and you're traveling and you need to catch up on what has happened in college basketball every day, it is the only place to do it, the Field of 68 Daily.
All right. I'm going to subscribe now.
Subscribe now. And then obviously you know about the Almanac, which we've been promoting, which we gave you a free copy. So don't say
we're going to be great. No. The Almanac is awesome. It is an incredible tool at any level. High major, mid major, low major. I've used it a lot already to kind of prep for the year and make my sheets, and definitely for the low major teams that you see early on, just because there's not much information on them. So it's really valuable to have that from the coaches and right from their, you know, the coach's mouth.
So you can buy the Almanac, you can subscribe to the newsletter, and you can also purchase beautiful gear like this.
Nice.
Again, no discount in the gear for you. You're gonna have to fork it over.
I need my agent to negotiate a new deal.
You didn't. You signed a 2-year deal. That was the problem. Should have signed a 1-year.
I never saw a contract. I don't recall that.
1 year with an option. That's what you said.
Oh, and you picked it up. Thanks.
We did. All right. Listen. Let's get to it before we do our annual. Now, our annual player draft. We're gonna draft 13 players. The only stipulation being you have to have at least one mid-major player on your team.
And mid-major is specified as anyone outside the Power Six, correct?
Correct. That's right. So, yes, you can go heavy to your American Athletic Conference, which I know you will. You're fine there. We should have done it where you had to take a real mid-major.
Maybe I'll snag Kendrick Davis in the mid-major draft. He does not count.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I think we should make it.
Throw the American in there, too. Throw the American in, too.
And the WCC.
Yes, absolutely.
I think there's 10 leagues, to be honest. Yep. The A-10, the American, the WCC, they're all included. And then you've got the legit one bids. I think we got to take one player from the one bids.
Okay, I like that.
We'll do that. But before we get to our draft, where I will absolutely annihilate you as I did a year ago.
Last year, I've learned hard lessons were learned. You got to draft production. You cannot draft the Imani Bates pick is really the one that hurt me.
That came back to haunt you a little.
That was a tough pick.
You did. You know what else is haunting all of us right now?
Yes, but
go ahead. Greg Sankey, and all the other knuckleheads out there that are pro expansion of the NCAA tournament. And they're doing it for different reasons. You know, it's all about money ultimately in themselves, right? And you know, Sankey wants more SEC teams, right? Like baseball didn't, they got hosed or something. So, you know, he's trying to say that, again, more of these SEC teams, these fringe SEC teams should be in the tournament. So they're talking about basically having 25% of all sports be involved in the championships. So that would put it at somewhere around 88, 90 teams for the NCAA tournament. Listen, I'm on the record and have been for a long time saying, like, get rid of the first four, go back to 64. That was the beauty. That was the best way to me. We'd had it. It was clean, you know, bracket.
I've kind of started to like, the fact that you get it Tuesday, Wednesday. You know what I mean? It's like an appetizer to the main course.
I didn't mind it last year. Indiana was in it, so I had a little rooting interest there.
Massive fan bases there.
Massive. So it was, again, I don't like how now they're trying to use it as you know, it's good. It's going to give more kids opportunities. Screw more that. Games. Like, all you want is money in your own teams to get in. That's all it is.
No, I agree. And I just think looking at the teams on the bubble, there are some teams that aren't that good that make the tournament now.
Right.
So because you have to fill out the field. What's the number then? Is it 130? You know, is it 90?
Well, Dennis Gates wants it to be 128, right?
That is terrible. That's a terrible idea.
I mean,
go ahead.
The worst way that they try to justify it is, what do they say, Rob? Well, look at all the coaches in football, in college football, that make a bowl. Well, does that mean it's good? Nobody gives a shit about most of those bowl games.
You're not tuning into the Poinsettia Bowl on December 22nd.
I mean, I might put a few bucks on it, but other than that,
who
I don't care.
That's who cares. That's who cares for sure. And you know who else cares? The coaches who their contracts are based off of, did you make the NCAA tournament or not?
Sure. Which I get. If I was a coach, I would probably be in favor of it going to 256.
Yeah.
But does that mean it's good for the
It's not good for the product of the NCAA tournament.
Right.
What we have right now is an awesome event with just enough good teams getting in. The bubble brings intrigue. And to a team like, let's say, last year, Texas A&M, don't lose like 9 of 11 games. You know, don't have a record.
Play a crappy non-conference schedule.
Exactly. Play good people in the non-conference. You have a tournament that's awesome. And I heard a writer say this today, you know, how much extra money does it bring in if you have first round, you know, let's say you have first round games with, like, it's not like they're getting 20 million viewers,
right?
You know, I think the first four, what this guy said, and it was Mike DeCourcy, he was saying that I think the first four games with Indiana brought like 2 million people. So, I mean, that's good, but it's not like astronomically good.
If they ever did it, my only thing, if they ever did it and chose to go to 88 or 90, and Rob Senderoff called me, the Kent State head coach, last week, and he had an idea. And I actually liked it. If they're going to go this route, which I'm not in favor of, but I like this, is have a play-in type tournament for, let's say, the final like 8 spots. So you have like 24 teams or something like, or 16 teams fighting for 4 or 8 spots. And my idea would be, if you're going to do that, have 8 high majors, 8 mids, play them against each other. It actually would be kind of fun to see, because we would have
champ week, and then we would have pre-NCAA tournaments, and then the first four, and then the NCAA tournament.
No, there'd be no first four. You do Tuesday, Wednesday, and then if you win both, his idea was you fly right and you play a Friday game. If you win Tuesday, Wednesday, you're at the disadvantage.
His idea would add 4 teams.
Total, it would be, I think, 16 teams playing for 4 spots. You'd have to win 2 games.
Gotcha.
It's not the worst thing ever.
No, I know. But you have something that works. You have something that's really good.
Stop messing with it.
You know?
I'm totally 100% with you. I think, again – I would go back to 64, but 68, we're used to. It's fine. And again, it doesn't water down the product. We do not need sub 500 teams getting in the NCAA tournament. And that is what will happen. That is absolutely what's going to happen. If you
and that's where the bowl games have happened. That's been the bowl situation. You got teams that are 6-6 and 5-6 or 5-7 that make bowl games. I mean, out of the teams that didn't make it last year, A&M, who else? Xavier,
yep.
SMU, and Dayton. I mean, did the tournament stink because they weren't in there? No. No one missed those teams.
Hell no.
They had their opportunity, and they did not do enough during the season. The regular season has to mean something. Yeah, you know, we went 7-11 in conference play, and are 15-15, and we deserve to go to the NCAA tournament. No,
here I'm trying to find the quote from new Missouri coach Dennis Gates that Kyle Tucker tweeted out earlier. Here it is. I would like to see it double.
To be honest with you, some great coaches left out of the tournament. You're just gonna
say, go ahead.
No, it says, I would like to see a double, to be honest with you. There are some great coaches left out of the tournament and some great players we don't get to see.
What do you think of that, Rob?
Well, other than Ben Simmons, we maybe missed him in the tournament, but other than that, I cannot think of a time where I was like, man, what a bummer that he's not playing. You know, his team's out. I think that's ridiculous. I think it's if they change it, I'm gonna be upset.
Yeah, yeah. You're not alone, and I think now it's almost this big media push now to make sure it doesn't happen. But I think ultimately, does it matter? Does Greg Sankey give a shit what anybody in the media think? Probably not.
And I don't think Jim Phillips does. And I don't think if Kevin Warren were to feel that way too, I don't think he would care either.
Right. I think it's going to, you know, happen. And, you know, hopefully Kevin Warren will listen to my Big Ten media site recommendation.
Well, when we have 178 teams playing in the NCAA tournament and we're just at like 38 different sites, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. How'd you like the Big Ten Media Day in Minneapolis, Rob?
Oh, it was great. And you know what the best part was?
Go ahead.
Actually, so the weather was amazing. You were hating on the weather. I land, it's 75 degrees in Minneapolis. The next day it was 80.
Did so you go to dinner? Often?
No, I did not. I was too busy working. So we go to dinner and we're coming back from dinner and I'm like, it feels like we're in South Beach. It's like 80 degrees at 8 o'clock. And then it started to cool off. It was one of those unseasonably warm days up there. But I swear to God, this is true. And I called you when it happened.
You have to set up the story with
me. I will. So Stephanie White and I were working together for ESPN. She was doing the women's media day stuff for them and I was doing the men's. And, you know, you had tweeted this controversial take that no one wanted to go to Minneapolis. And there were some offended people over this. And I knew that there were some people upset. Chris Holtman took a shot at you, which shout out to him for doing that. He said coaches, but I think he really meant you, that you were upset about it. And you didn't even show up. You or Doster. I see you at A10 Media Day. You're at Big East Media Day. I don't know how you call yourself a national writer if you don't go to Big Ten Media Day, but you do. So I'm walking off the court. I'd been talking to Rick Pizzo from Big Ten Network. I'm walking off, and there's this guy. I don't know who he is. I think he works for the Big Ten Conference, but this guy's the man. And I'm walking by, and he's talking to somebody else. And he's like, man, that Jeff Goodman guy sure is a fucking dumbass. And he was about nobody likes Minneapolis. Totally wrong. This has been a great media day. And he was going on and on about how stupid you were. And waste time and go back to this guy and be like, yeah, you know, he really is a moron. He's a total idiot. And just crushed you with him. But I couldn't contain myself. I just walked by. But I was really happy to see that people were outraged by what you tweeted.
All I said was coaches – on the whole, we're not happy about going to Minneapolis, number one, for Big Ten Media Day. Number two, it should always be in Chicago or maybe Indy.
The good people of Minneapolis don't feel that way. They were offended.
Well, but here's my take on it is tell me about the turnout a year ago at Big Ten Media Day compared to this year?
That's the problem, is that when you have it in Indy or you have it in Chicago, the writers and people covering the teams of Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State are all within a reasonable drive.
Yeah.
In Minneapolis, much like if you held it in Washington, D.C., or you hold it in New York City. Well, New York, I guess, probably is easier to fly to because it's huge, but it's going to cost you a lot of money to get to Minneapolis. So the turnout, I would say, from a writer's perspective and people who are covering the event, not as good. But exactly. First-class events, and to the staffer who crushed you, props to him.
We got to find out who that was.
I want to know who it was, and he's my favorite worker.
You need to go through. You know how they do like a lineup, and you know when you go.
Can I pick him out?
we need mug shots of everybody from the Big Ten.
Dude, you were public enemy number one up there.
What about the screen? And that's my guy. That's who I'm going after this year.
Yeah.
We're dropping our merch.
We got to start calling Underwood Daddy Brad.
But I'm a big pod guy.
Breaking news. The Field of 68 has an online store, and it's your one-stop shop for the latest and greatest merch in college basketball and college football. You can find shirts to support your favorite team, make fun of your rival team, or boast Field of 68 catchphrases like Daddy Brad, Cussing and Discussing, and the Star Heels. Go to www.fieldof68.shop today and enter promo code Touchdown for 20% off at checkout.
Let's get to the big draft. I know you've been waiting all day for this. You have literally been preparing all day.
I've been prepping. This is redemption.
Well, do you want the number one pick, or would you like 2 and 3?
How do we decide this? Last year you just gave it to me, I think, but what do you want to do? How can we decide?
I'll give it to you again. I mean, you had such a shitty draft last year. I'm going to give you your choice.
You know what? I want the second and third pick. You take the
first
pick.
You want the second and third. Okay. All right. You can have the second and third pick. Boy, I wasn't ready for this. I'm going to take Marcus Sasser with the number one pick.
All right.
I just feel like Marcus Sasser from Houston is a guy. It is not a very strong guard crew this year, especially, and you've made this mistake. You went young last year, and it bit you in the ass. So there's some good young guards, but I'm going with a proven guy. I know he missed time last year with the injury. He's back at 100%. Houston's a top five team. He's going to be the best player on a top five team this year, at a position that there just aren't a lot. There's not a lot of strength.
I like that pick. That was good. All right. I am going to go. I'm going to go Kendrick Davis, because I think, again, the point guards are so, the depth is not there.
It's not.
So I get that. And I'm going to go Nick Smith.
Oh, that hurt. Okay.
That's a great pick by me.
Okay. That was a good pick. That was a really good pick. I like that one. All right. All right. It's almost like I try to play defense now a little bit. You know, that's where I'm at.
Well, there is a dearth of, well, I don't want to say this because I don't want to tip you off.
Bigs. You can say it. Because there is. I'm going to take Jaime Jaquez.
Damn it. I didn't.
I'm going to go with these multi-dimensional, kind of wings, scoring wings. Jaime's healthy now. He's been hurt for the last year, experienced again. I know what I'm getting out of.
Yep. Veteran player. We learned last year that sometimes the forbidden fruit of the freshman can bite you.
Yes, it can. I love Nick Smith, by the way. We didn't really talk about him after you drafted him, but Arkansas freshman, he'd probably be somewhere in the 3 to 5 range in the NBA draft.
Three-level score. can score in all ways.
Yep. Love
and a combo too. I can move him to the one.
I don't believe that. I know they're saying that. I didn't see that. When I saw him a summer and a half ago, I saw a score. I saw a, like, remember they tried to call Anthony Edwards a combo too?
Yeah, they did. Well, good. I'll pair him with Kendrick Davis, who can facilitate there. The Memphis point.
That's fair.
So, all right. Who's the?
I got another one. I'm going to go with Oscar Tshiebwe.
All right.
I know there's a ton of bigs.
I mean, that's just why that pick is. You could have 10 guys who can be.
I know. I want the best one. That's all I'll say is
I
want the best one in America, and that's Big Oscar.
Yep.
And I love him.
I like that. All right. I am going to go. Boy. This might be controversial.
Okay.
Dariq Whitehead at the three.
Wow. I'm young. He's hurt, you know.
Oh, he broke his foot, didn't he?
Coming off the injury. I mean, that's a roll of the dice here. I'm going to help you out here.
I forgot he had hurt.
I'm going to give you a mulligan. Need mulligans. I've heard about your golfing. I know you need them. I'm giving you a mulligan here if you want.
The problem is there's just not many wings, you know? Like there's.
Yep. Yep.
So, all right.
Go ahead. Take the mulligan.
You're such an idiot. Again, the bigs are the best players, and there's so many guys.
It's you might as well take them. Just load up. Take all the bigs.
No. All right. I'm going to go with – God, I just boy, this is a little harder than I thought.
You're at pick three, and you're baffled. How are you going to make it through 13?
Because I'm trying to – load up my backcourt here.
Okay.
All right. I went Flagler. Yeah. And I'm going to go Jalen Wilson.
Okay. Yeah. You needed some little experience. Okay. All right. All right. I'm going to go. RJ Davis, Carolina point guard, veteran, was awesome down the stretch. Just to me, if I surround him by elite players, which I'm going to do here, he's like the perfect point guard. He's perfect. He was so good down the stretch last year. And I'm going to go with Keontae George.
Yeah.
Baylor freshman. Absolutely love him when I saw him. He's got – I don't know who he's like. I kind of told him when I saw him a summer ago that I thought he was a little bit like Donovan Mitchell. He's not as athletic as Donovan, but he's kind of a little bit combo-ish, but more of a scorer with size. I think he's the highest upside.
So you're playing Marcus Sasser with the two?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And RJ Davis the one.
Yep.
All right. I like that. I am going to go Drew Timmy.
Okay.
And I'm going to bookend that with Derek Lively.
I like that pick. I like that one. I should have went with him. I thought about going with him last pick. I thought about it. Damn. Lively, for those who haven't seen him, Duke freshman, 7
freak. Ball. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, like different than all the other bigs we're going to take here.
Yeah.
Because he can block shots. He can run the court like a guard. And he can step out a little bit, Rob. Like, he's not great, but he can make a few. He can keep you honest and love Derek Lively. Absolutely love him. I'm going to go with another freshman that you are going to absolutely love, Rob. Brandon Miller at Alabama.
Yep.
Ian Nick Smith were my two favorite guys probably on the circuit. I mean, Lively I love too, but Brandon Miller is he's that new multi-dimensional wing that they love right now.
They'll play him at the four, won't they, this year? Yeah. 3-4?
Yeah, and you can run stuff through him. He can shoot it. He can put it on the floor. He can guard. Like, Brandon Miller, honestly – he could be the freshman of the year, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yep.
And then I got one more, right?
Yes.
I am going to go with Who am I going to go with on this one? I'm going to go with, what else do I need? I need like a big wing, maybe a bigger, I'll get Hakkvist. I'm going to go with,
You need a new GM is what you need.
I'm trying to figure. You know what? I'm going with Kevin McCullough. I'm going with Kevin McCullough. He's just a winner.
That's an outside-the-box pick at 7 for you.
I love just the guys that can do a little bit of everything. He can guard. He can run the point if you need him to. He's just that, like, that glue guy that just wins. He's just all about winning. So I love McCullough. Tough as shit, too.
All right. All right, so I need to fill out my bench here. I'm going to go with This should not be that hard. I'm going to go Isaiah Wong.
Okay.
Really long, can score. Good athlete. Their team's going to be interesting, though, which is what makes that a little risky. They're not going to be as good as last year, but he's a good player.
He is a good player. He is really good.
And I'm going to – you know, I should wait on this because I don't think he'll take him. I will go – you know what? I'm going to take him right now. I'm going to go Pete Nance.
Good pick. I was thinking about him. Yep. That's a good one.
I think he's going to fit in really well at Carolina. And his skill set, he is a skilled dude.
Is he
going to
shoot it, though, Rob? That my big question is, he shot the shit out of it last year. How good a shooter is Pete Nance?
I think he's a good shooter. I don't think he's a good shooter as Brady Manek. I think Brady Manek has a flame.
Right.
But I do think that Pete Nance can spread the floor, and he can put it on the floor, and you have to respect him. And that's what they need, right?
Yep. All right, what do I need here? What do I need? I'm going to go. By the way, I can't believe you went Wong over Nigel Pack. Nigel's making more money, more NIL, all that.
And Wong's a better player than Nigel Pack.
You go with the guy. All right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm going to go as my mid-major guy. I'm going to take him now.
Why?
All right, I'll wait.
Well, if you want to.
You're not going to take whoever I'm going to take anyway.
I think I already know who I'm going to take for my mid-major.
There's too many guys in the same grouping now. And again, it's so hard. I have Oscar. I almost, I don't know if I need another big. I'll take Kalkbrenner.
So hold on. You have to draft this and assume that he might get in foul trouble or
that's why I'm gonna take Kalkbrenner.
You can't just be like, yeah, you know what? I took Oscar and he plays 40 minutes of every game.
No, that but I'm saying like I'll take Kalkbrenner as my backup who gives me something different. I just don't want to take another big. I want to take something a little bit different than if I need shot blocking.
Well, you got a very lack of skill at your five position. It's concerning for you.
Kalkbrenner can step out a little bit.
All right. Don't you have one more pick?
I do. I'm going to go with I should have taken a different big man.
Already showing the regret of his pick.
I'm going to go with I'm going to take
there's a draft clock out here for you.
This is a tough pick. This is a very strenuous pick. I'm going to take TJ Shannon to Illinois. Terrence Shannon.
Shannon Jr.?
I think he's going to be their best player.
Agreed.
And again, gives me another – I mean, I got a lot of, like, big multi-dimensional wings here. The guys that are long. We're going to switch almost everything. We're going to switch 1 through 4. We're not switching 5, but we're going to switch 1 through 4.
All right, I'm going to go another freshman here. Cam Whitmore, Villanova.
Yeah, good call. I like him.
Big-time athlete.
Yep.
MVP
yep.
of the FIBA U18 Americas, 6'7", 230.
Yep.
Just a guy that you can plug into a couple different spots, and he can play a couple different positions for you. And then I will go – boy, I could regret this, but the way he played in the NCAA tournament was elite. Caleb Love.
Ooh, all right. Caleb's going to – listen, he's going to come out publicly and kill me for not taking him.
That's on you.
Killed me for putting him at number 2 in the preseason. So, all right, I'm going to go with – I need one more point guard probably. It really is hard. I'll tell you what, point guard is the most difficult position.
That's why you had to draft Sasser first and I had to take Kendrick Davis second because there just aren't that many good point guards.
Yeah, but Sasser's more of a scorer to me.
Totally, yeah. You know, I think I know who I'd draft if I was you. Maybe I'll take him, though, to screw your team over.
I mean, the one guy, but he can't shoot, is Tyrese Hunter.
I think there's one more. There's one that you're forgetting. Clearly, you didn't do your draft homework, though.
I love Isaiah Stevens, but he's out. He's hurt.
Not him.
I take him. Who am I not seeing? Shed?
Nope. I mean, he's good, too, but not him.
Tiger.
Well, he's one, but there's another one, too.
Miles?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take Mike Miles. I'll take Mike Miles. That's a good call.
I should have drafted him just to screw your team.
Yeah, that's a good call. 36. No, that's 10 for me. You're at 36, 10, 2.
So it's 2 more picks for each of us, and then we've got our mid-major pick.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
All right. So I'm back on the clock here is what you're saying.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to go back to my pick of Derek Whitehead. That's just if he gets healthy, let's ball type thing.
Yep.
And let's see. I got one more.
How many Big Ten guys have you had? I don't think you're Big Ten heavy enough. They might disown you.
That's true. All right. You know what? I'm going to go with a Big Ten guy. I'll go Hunter Dickinson.
Okay.
Like that skill. Man, my bigs are elite. Timmy, Lively, and Hunter.
You do know it's a guards game.
Trouble.
You know that, right?
It's fine. It's the almanac says it's the year of the big. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You wrote that shit.
That's a good point. You're right. All right. I'm looking at my team, just making sure I got enough guys who can guard. Jaime can guard. McCullough can guard. I could use like a big, long, big. All right, I know who I'm going to take there. I also need an elite. I could use an elite shooter. Let's see. Who's the best shooter left? I'm going to go LJ Crier. Healthy LJ Crier.
All right.
Elite shooter.
Yep.
And what, I got one more?
Yes.
All right. Next one I'm going to take is I'm going to go Amari. No. Yeah, I'm going to go Amari Bailey. Amari Bailey. You see?
All right.
Amari Bailey.
All right. So now the mid-major one.
Yep. What do you got?
I'm going to go Matt Bradley, San Diego State.
It's the Mountain West. It doesn't count.
You said that was not in the.
Again, it's assumed. A-10, American, right. Mountain West, West Coast Conference. Come on. Disrespecting the Mountain West like this? I mean, come on.
No. I was going by the parameters that you set. When I talked to him on the phone 3 days ago, it was Power 6. Then today it became, all right, West Coast Conference. And what was the other one? What was the
American, other one? A-10, and Mountain West.
You didn't say A-10 or Mountain West. So, all right, Matt Bradley's off the board. So, really, this becomes a two-horse race now.
This becomes a one-bid league. That's what you got to go with.
All right. So, my pick is down to Max Asemus or Darius McGee.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Asemus.
All right. I'm going a little different here. I'm going Jamarian Sharp.
Seven. From Western Kentucky, the big dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Why not?
Because I don't
have a guy like him.
For you, that's a good pick. But for me, I had Derek Lively. So
right. I mean, Jamarian Sharp is going to block every shot of.
I saw him play last year. Now it was via Zoom. But I did Western Kentucky's games in the Asheville tournament. And he improved so much over the course of the year. By the
time
I think
he'll take another jump. I do.
He is huge compared. I didn't get to see him in person, which I wish I had, but he's enormous compared to the other players on the floor.
All right. So what? Where do you think you went wrong?
Nowhere.
I think you said this last year too.
I think I did too. But I have to exude confidence so that I don't fall into Rob Pelinka land of building a team that's not going to be good.
That has no, you have a bench.
Dude, that I know what I'm doing.
Hey, at least you have a bench. You know, you actually have a very good bench.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm bringing Lively, Isaiah Wong, Pete Nance, Cam Whitmore, Caleb Love, Derek Whitehead, Hunter Dickinson, Max Asemus off the bench.
So you're starting five right now. Kendrick Davis at the one, Nick Smith at the two, or Flagler
at the three, Jalen Wilson at the four, and Drew Timmy at the five.
All right, so I go Sasser, Jaquez.
You have RJ Davis at the one.
RJ, those two at the wing, Oscar at the five, Brandon Miller at the four. I'm a
so you're not going to start Keontae George?
No, I'm starting Brandon Miller at the four. I love Brandon Miller. Since I first saw him last year, I fell in love. There was nobody else like him in that class. You know, same.
How well does he shoot?
He shoots it well. He shoots it well, and he just knows how to play. Yeah. High IQ. You can really run stuff through him. That's what kind of blew me away. And he's like a deceptively really good athlete, but you don't always see it because of his skill level. So I love him. This was good.
All right, let me ask you this. Out of the freshmen we drafted, and so that would include Nick Smith for me, Derek Whitehead for my team, Derek Lively for my team, and for you, it'd be Keontae George, Brandon Miller, and is Amari Bailey? No, Amari Bailey's a freshman.
Yeah, Bailey.
And Amari Bailey.
Yep.
Who on that list is the potential biggest bust, in your opinion? Like last year's Amani Bates for this draft.
To me, it's not Nick Smith. No chance. It's not Lively. No chance. You also took Whitmore, by the way, and Whitehead.
Oh, yeah, Cam Whitmore, too. Yes.
I would say it's Whitehead because of the injury.
Yep.
That's my biggest concern. Brandon Miller, no chance. to me, Keontae George, no chance. I haven't seen Bailey ever in person. I've never seen him on the circuit. So I only know what people have told me. And they love him for how hard he plays and for his skill level. So I think he'll be good. I don't know if he'll put up like crazy numbers at UCLA. The other kid at UCLA, Adam Bona is his name.
Yeah.
And Mick Cronin compared him to a young Amari Stoudemire.
Boy.
He plays that hard. NBA guys who saw him too raved about him to me.
Bona's 7 foot.
Close. I think he's 6'10", 6'11".
Yeah.
But plays hard as shit.
Okay, but let me this. Had we said the same thing last year with Amani Bates and that group of freshmen that were taken, would you have said that there was any chance that he would be a total bust in the way that he was? You know, that's part of it. But.
Well, no and yes, just because, again, he went to the wrong place.
And that he's 17 years old.
And he was 17 years old. You know, like none of these kids reclassified. They didn't move up at the he moved up at the 11th hour. So like mentally, he wasn't ready. As we've seen, obviously, you know, recently with some of the other stuff he's gone through, like he needs to mature. He wasn't ready for college yet. And then to go to a place like Memphis, where it was like a tale of two teams.
Yep. No doubt.
It was a bad fit. It was a bad fit.
On a different note, you know what needs to be talked. So I wrote down a list of probably 35 players, maybe not that many, 30.
Yep.
Every wing I wrote down was drafted. Yep. Every guard I wrote down, save for Jamal Shedd and Tiger Campbell, was taken. But the bigs, no Armando Bacot, no Trace Jackson Davis, Zach Edey, Colin Castleton, Adama Sanogo. Those are really, really good players.
Amazing.
But when you do something like this, because there's limited wings and because there's limited point guards, those guys kind of get the shaft in this.
And you really only want one of them because you want your backup big to be different than your starting big.
No doubt. I took three and you took just two, Tshiebwe
and
Kalkbrenner.
And then Sharp at the
end. Oh, so you have three, Jamar and Sharp. Yep.
Right. I use Sharp for that reason. And I want, you know, when I took Oscar, I knew I was going to take Sharp with my mid-major pick. You know, the backup big might have been the toughest decision I had with Cole.
There's so many guys. I would have thought that you would have went more skilled. But yeah, I guess that's the problem is Baycott's not, Trace Jackson Davis is not, Hunter, but you could have taken Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah, I probably should have.
I took him 12. And just because Oscar is a non-shooter and Hunter can shoot threes.
Yeah, I probably should have taken Hunter there instead of Kalkbrenner. To me, is a little different than Hunter in terms of shot blocker too.
Yes, totally.
And that's why I went with him. I went more like he's not like a great like vertical jumper, but he's a good shot blocker, and that's why I took him there.
That's fair. That's fair.
And again, it's funny. I took, how about this? Kevin McCullough and TJ Shannon. I took them both.
The former Texas Tech grads.
How about that? But it's a culture thing for me. And again, both played for Beard, you know, when they established. And I feel like both those guys just know how to win. And they know how to bring toughness to the table. And, you know, I mean, you've got that too with some of your, you know, Wong, tough as shit. Kendrick Davis is tough as shit. Whitmore supposedly, you know, Caleb Love coming off your bench in your second unit, just kind of you see if he's on or off.
Totally. And ride the hot hand or not. Honestly, both teams are good.
Yeah.
Mine's better, but both
teams
are good.
It'll be interesting. Well, I just went, again, I went with my first four picks were proven guys.
And that's, yes.
You did three of your four.
Well,
trust me.
With my Mulligan pick. Yes, that's true.
But trust me, Nick Smith, that's not rolling any dice. This kid is the real deal. The only thing you worry about with him at Arkansas, there are a lot of mouths to feed this year.
Sure.
A lot.
And that recruiting class that
ridiculous.
Must has there is insane. Ridiculous. Especially because of the history of Arkansas recruiting, and just you don't see those types of talents roll through.
Are you all in on a team that, that has 11 new faces? Like, it's one thing to have like seven new faces.
I mean, I have questions about Illinois, and they have eight. So 11, absolutely. There's something to be said, regardless of what the transfer portal becomes, what NIL becomes, about turnover and continuity.
Yeah,
there has to be, because and the question will be, do you maybe there's going to definitely be teams that sacrifice early in the non-conference because they don't have that, but then the potential to figure it out is certainly always there because you have such new faces. Whereas when you return everybody, you might start at a higher level, but maybe your ceiling's not as high.
Yeah.
But I still think that at the end of the day, you need a core to return. And we have teams this year that are ranked pretty high that don't have any type of core returning.
Right. Right.
But that's the era we're in.
Yeah. By the way, before I let you go, have you seen Purdue yet? Have you gone by?
I tried, and we were down there for an event, but they were off that day.
You got shut down.
But I've heard.
You can say you got shut down. They're not allowing you in.
I have heard nothing but good things about their freshman point guard.
And that's all I was going to ask you. That's all I wanted.
That's the big question for them. Yeah. And that's the key to the season for them.
100%.
But I've heard really good things about both Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith.
Good, good, good. All right. Well, listen, your task is to get maybe a mug shots of everybody, every male that works for the Big Ten. I would like everybody a mugshot for next week so we can go through it and find out who this person
this
is.
Got eviscerating.
Who this slanderous individual
eviscerating
is
you.
Anything negative about me.
You know what I thought? I thought, man, how poetic for me to be back in the building where I built a 16-66 season and to be walking through the tunnel and hear this man just crushing Jeff. It's like a sweet poem that, you know, the greatest poet of all time wrote.
Hey, they'll never forget you in Minneapolis. Never.
That's probably true. As I walked onto the floor, I just thought of the 2 years that I just gave it my all up there.
You did. You gave it
guarding DeMarcus Cousins and playing the point in the same two possessions. Just a really good experience.
The poor T-Wolves. Those poor T-Wolves. RIP to the late Flip Saunders, who actually had to coach you in the NBA.
Flip liked coaching me. He liked coaching me.
All right. There you have it. Goodman and Hubble podcast. Listen to it. Watch it wherever you view and watch your podcast again.
We're going to make a graphic of this. We will revisit this February 1st. February 1st, we'll revisit these teams.
We might even do it before that. We might even do it
January 15th.
Early, and we'll see who's doing well here. All right. We'll see you next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.